Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah. Focus on yourself and stop trying to scheme others. Cause once you get your wealth, then you can start to wake others. Stop running from yourself and take up your throne. Don't let them entities take up your home. Cause you're the entity that makes them stone cold demons. So I'ma hit them hard when they hit low. I'll be on your boulevard with my righteous flow. I'll be pulling all these cards with this mighty flow. Never claim to be a thug, I just walk with love. They just wanna give me the me mug because they nothing but someone that's not dealing with themselves. They probably need a hug. I'm the one to hit them with this truth, they sweep it under rug. So deal with it yourself, don't hide behind the drugs. The nation is the nation's epidemic, this is not a gimmick. I'm just here to make the people feel it, orchestrate and kill it. Put it in its place and add some grace and we can re-reveal it.
This world is yours, it's yours to show. So do it for yourself, you the day one, day one. So do it for yourself, you the day one, day one. Now it's time to activate and be the main one. This world is yours, it's yours to show. So do it for yourself, you the day one, day one. So do it for yourself, you the day one, day one. Now it's time to activate and be the main one.
Yo. Since I'm back of all my grizzy, used to live in pity, throwing pity parties. Now I'm litty, I am my committee. Went from starved to living large, we live with no regard. So bring your light, cause you the star, they say we come from Mars. Either way, it doesn't matter, cause you make it happen. You the author of your story, make or break it, captain. See right here, I'm building mansions on this track for rapping. Get the hell up out my house if you ain't about it, faker. A lot of fakers, man, it be a lot of takers. They just here to make me strong so I can elevate this. I'm just here to bring you something that'll last for ages. And you're just here to bring us something that'll last for ages. Now that's contagious, I can write 1,000 pages. But you gotta make the choice that'll rattle Satan. Until you pull up in a Royce and show us how to make it. Until you pull up with your voice and show us how to take it.
Take it.
Welcome, 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 welcome. This is your boy, Dr. Will Rogers, a.k.a. Master Teacher 33, and today is Friday, May the 25th, 2018, and the time is 12 noon Central Time. As always, we have another outstanding show scheduled for you today, and as you know, I like to get right into the meat of the message. I know your time is valuable, I respect you, and I respect your time, so I do not want to waste your time. I want to spend as much time revealing, explaining, illuminating, and simplifying the word of God, the word of Yahuwah and his son, Yahushua. So today, my brothers, today, my sisters, got an interesting topic for you today. Not quite as, you know, mind-blowing as some of the other topics, but it's one of the topics that I struggle with, and that is this thing that we call wisdom. You know, it's really interesting when you talk about wisdom, knowledge, clarity, understanding. How terrible is wisdom when it brings no profit? Now, let me let that marinate for a second because it's one of these humdingers, if you will. How terrible is wisdom when it brings no profit, especially to the wise? So when someone calls themselves wise, someone calls themselves knowledgeable, someone calls themselves gifted, intelligent, you know, genius, if you want to use that term or that word. First of all, we've got to understand what it means. When we talk about wisdom, I think about the Bible when the Bible talks about King Solomon, because Solomon was given unusual wisdom by God. In fact, he was the wealthiest and the wisest man who ever lived. Now, we can learn a lot from King Solomon. If, in fact, you know, based upon the biblical narrative and understanding what it talks about in the book of Ecclesiastes, when it says, when there's an increase of knowledge, there's an increase of sorrow. You know, that always pondered and that always baffled me. And I always thought about that scripture that also says, in the writing of many books, the body grows weary. And now that I'm on the other side of the coin, as a young whippersnapper, I was like, nah, I like knowledge, man. I want to get as much knowledge. I prayed for knowledge and wisdom, and I wanted to, you know the secrets of the universe. And as a young man, I remember saying the prayer, you know, I don't want to be deceived. I want to know. So how terrible is knowledge when it brings no profit to the knowledgeable? How terrible is intelligence when that intelligence brings you no profit? How terrible is it to have genius level IQ and yet live as a pauper? Now, first of all, let's define wisdom and let's define profit, because I think my terms may be a little bit different from yours. Now, as you guys know, one of the major things that I like to pride myself on is under, over, and understanding didactically, you know, certain things that the Bible says. And one of the things about what the Bible says is we look at this word wisdom. And before we get into the biblical narrative, let's just break it down just from a general perspective. And just from a general perspective, for a general definition is, when we talk about wisdom, we're talking about how knowledge or where knowledge and experience meet. So wisdom is not just knowledge. Wisdom is the intelligence to utilize that knowledge. Wisdom is a quality that allows the application of knowledge. Wisdom is very rare. A wise dome. The word wisdom is wise dominion. How terrible is a wise dominion when it brings you no profit? Now, I know a lot of people that have a lot of intelligence, a lot of great common sense, a lot of prudence, and a lot of scholarship, very philosophical people with great experience and great understanding, great insight. These are all qualities and attributes that encompasses what I would term as wisdom. But how terrible is it to have all of that and yet have no profit? Now, when I say profit, again, like the word wisdom, it's probably a little different from what you are, you know, imagining, especially the word profit. Because see, profit means a lot of different things to a lot of different people. So what is profitable to me is not profitable to you. Because profit not only means financial gain, profit has the meaning of production. Profit means advantage. It means benefit. So how terrible is it to have wisdom but no benefits from the wisdom? How terrible is it to have wisdom and then have no advantage from that wisdom? So if you are very wise or very knowledgeable, you could go through the life management system and listen to my shows and read my books, and you would ascertain, based just upon it, if you can just read my book on the cerebral spinal fluid, CSF, that book, just one of the 50 books, would give you a lot of knowledge. But what good is that knowledge if it brings you no profit? So today, my brothers and sisters, we've got to look at, why is your knowledge not bringing you profit? I don't know anybody that don't have knowledge. I don't know any people that are intellectually challenged. Zero. If you're a member of the Life Management team, if we've ever talked on the phone, email, text, Facebook friends, I don't know anybody that I have had an intelligent conversation or an unintelligent conversation with that I would classify as not being wise, wisdom, or intelligent. In fact, I don't even draw non-intelligent people into my circle. It's really interesting because you bring about what you vibe about, not what you think about, what you feel. Because what you feel is will. So profit is the positive gain. Profit is an asset, not a liability. See, profit, my brothers, profit, my sisters, is always benevolent. That's one of the attributes of the big G. So how terrible is it to live in this planet and not have the benefits of the big G? It's a terrible thing. It's a terrible thing to be alive today and not overstand wealth, health, wisdom, and great relationships that's based upon your experience and based upon your knowledge. See, profit is a normal, totally normal. It is a normal advantage that one receives from maintaining a particular mental disposition. What type of mental disposition? Wisdom. Notice profit is an automatic result of wisdom. Let me say that again. Heavenly Father, touch the minds, hearts, wills, emotion, and imagination of your people. Notice profit is an automatic result of a wise dome. Wisdom. So if you have no profit, you have no benefit or no advantage, or you cannot see, as we've been talking about before, most of the people, I don't know any people that are not intelligent, but I know a lot of people that cannot see that they are intelligent. I don't know nobody that's not rich. I know nobody that's poor. There's nobody in my circle that is poor. But yet I know a lot of people that's in my circle that can't see that they're not poor. I don't know anybody in my circle that has a health issue or a health problem. Even my own biological father, who has a lot of health problems, he don't have no health problems. He can't see that he don't have health problems. I know a lot of people who cannot see, therefore they cannot be. I know a lot of people who volunteer to maintain disease due to the inability to exercise a mental state of being wise. Now, notice the word wisdom is a mental state that is being something. Notice that you must be the solution to the problem that you have. Somebody should write this down. The only way problems can exist is if your brain is not being in the mental state of a solution. Somebody should write that down. The only way that a problem can exist is if you're not being, I say shiznits about doing. Everybody want to go do something, especially me. I like doing shiznits. Problems only exist if you're not maintaining a mental disposition. Let me say that again. Problems only exist if you're not imaging, feeling, and attaching that image. You must be an image engineer. You must be able to put an image and a feeling, and you must combine those two. That give a result. So the only way that you can be not profitable is if the image and the feeling are not the same. So if I got an image in my brain of money, but got a feeling in my heart of poverty, them dogs don't hunt together. Therefore, I will not get a result or an action of profit. Heavenly Father, touch the minds of your people. Let me give you the mathematical formula again. If you do not have a mental picture, notice the picture is mental. It has nothing to do with what's on your wall. It ain't got nothing to do with no damn vision board. That's outside of you. Number one, you must have a mental picture in your brain. See, a lot of people cannot formulate a mental picture, if I can say the word, a mental picture. What is a mental picture? It's a pixel. Now, remember, we're talking about how terrible is wisdom when it brings no profit to the person who contains that wisdom. That means that they don't have wisdom. That's the reason for the day's show. A lot of people who have wisdom don't have wisdom because it's impossible to have wisdom without profit. Profit is a benefit that, again, how can something be beneficial to you if you can't see that's beneficial? Example. One of my clients was talking, and he was talking about how, this wealth module, the wealth aspect of his four circles on the life optimization circle, which wealth, health, wisdom, and relationship. And I asked him, well, what's wrong with the wealth? Well, I hate my job. Why do you hate your job? Because when I go to my job, it makes me feel. And I asked, well, what did the job make him feel? And as we got breaking it down with asking those seven whys, it had nothing to do with his job. It had to do with the job was not giving him the payoff, which was and is, as it is with most of us, a feeling of being wanted and needed. So he was getting that feeling in his relationship, but he wasn't getting it in his job. But the way he was getting it was the fact that he was with somebody that was treating him like trash. And I asked, well, why do you stay with this person when it's an unequal yoke? The person even verbally told him, I don't like you, and I'm out as soon as I get a first opportunity. I'm just here because you got duckies, a.k.a. greenbacks, a.k.a. dollar bills. He was like, okay, I'm cool with that. Why? It made him feel. What it made him feel? Wanted and needed. So he was willing to settle for abuse in exchange for payoff. What most of the people I know do. So you're allowing somebody to disrespect you in order to receive their dopamine release, which makes you feel needed and wanted. It's the Superman complex or the savior complex. That's what I used to have. I had the God complex. So I only talked to and got with, and, I only dated. I only took jobs. I only hung out with people. I only took clients that I could save. If a client came to me with a big problem and I couldn't save them, or the old me, most of my clients now are way more affluent than I am after I made the cognitive shift. So why is it somebody who's in a better financial position, why are they hiring me as a life coach? Most of my clients, if I'm making $100,000, $150,000, $200,000 a year, I got clients that are millionaires, why would a millionaire hire someone who makes, $200,000 a year? Because a millionaire doesn't have time to do the research that I do. They're too busy making money. And I'm too busy finding truth. But how terrible is it for me to have all this truth and all of this knowledge and no profit? How terrible is it for them to have all that profit, but they don't have no truth? You see, wisdom is an interesting thing. That's what the Bible in the book of Ecclesiastes, and it breaks it down, and it's talking about, again, with the increase of knowledge, there's an increase of sorrow. The entire biblical narrative about King Solomon is very, very, very revealing because, again, wisdom is a mental state of being wise or having knowledge or having what we call, again, intelligence. It has said nothing about profit. If your wisdom doesn't spur you to action, it doesn't encourage you or give you discernment or insight. If your wisdom gives you no learning or no learned or no knowledge or any type of a scholarship, whether it's philosophy or theology, then your wisdom is in vain. As it talks about in the Book of Solomon, vanities of vanities. The Book of Solomon says seven times something about vexation of spirit. I've done many shows about being vexed, which is like being almost in a hex. And when we talk about vexed or vexation. Vexation is a mental state of being ignored, frustrated, or worried. Heavenly Father, touch the minds of your people. I need you to get this. This is extremely important. There's a lot of very wise people. Now, remember the three steps that we said at the beginning of the show. Number one, you must have a mental picture. Number two, you must have a loving feeling. I should add that word loving. I just said feeling. Because you can have a lot of feelings. There's a lot of feelings out there. But if you don't have an enthusiastic, loving feeling, it's called leverage, then your knowledge, your wisdom will not bring you no profit, which is number three. That's called IMRs, immediate measurable results. That's what I'm in business for. That's why I have the life management system. Because it took me 25 years of going around the circles. 25 years on a journey that could probably take 25 days. Why did it take me 25 years? No mental picture, no purpose. No loving feeling, no compassion. No IMRs, immediate measurable results. Why? I had a lot of wisdom. A lot of wisdom. But what was the problem? Vexed. Brother Will, why was you vexed? Basically, hexed. Remember the triune hex? What does that mean? A mental state of being frustrated. I know a lot of people that are frustrated with their wealth situation, frustrated with their health, frustrated with their wisdom, are frustrated with their relationships, frustrated, worried, annoyed, irritated, exasperated, angry, displeased, aggravated. These are all synonyms of this word that I call, or that King Solomon called, a vexation of spirit. How many of you are vexed today? You got a problem, that shizness won't go away, so you're vexed. You got all this wisdom, but there's one thing that you can't override this obstacle. It's like a thorn in your side. See, the Bible talks about King Solomon, and it said that King Solomon was different from everybody else on the planet because King Solomon had an unusual. Because he asked God for something, and God said, hey, man, you such an awesome dude. I'm going to grant you anything you want. And he said, Father, give me wisdom to rule this people. He said, bam, you got it. In walks two women and one baby. That's how God gave wisdom. He gave wisdom through problems. That's why I've had a lot of problems in my day. That's why I got a lot of wisdom. So, Brother Will, what's wrong with having a lot of wisdom? If King Solomon was the wisest man who ever lived, along with this great privilege, as I know now, of this thing that we call consciousness, awareness, discernment, or wisdom, it comes with great responsibility, and it adds burdens. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes, with the writing of many books, it is worrisome on your body. Why? It takes energy. It takes effort. See, if you are smarter than the rest of the world, so to speak, you see things that the rest of the world don't see. When I go to the movies, when I watch Black Panther, I came out, I was vexed. Every other Negro I know was happy as hell. I do not understand why. I just watched Infinity Wars, and I saw Thanos. And I saw Theos. I didn't see Thanos. I saw Theos. I just watched Avatar again for I don't know how many times last night. Me and my wife, my daughter, we were watching the movie Avatar. And what I saw in that movie, again, vexed my spirit. See, when you have great knowledge, you see stuff other people can't see. And it's not that they can't see. They can. We all can see. But there is no desire to see. It is a terrible thing, my brothers and sisters, to have wisdom when it brings you no profit. Now, remember, the word profit means benefit. It ain't got nothing to do with money. And advantage. Profit has to do with the feelings of benefit and the feelings of advantage. So there's certain things, there's very few things that give me the feeling of being in a place of more advantageous. So somebody can say something to you, hey, man, you know, it's a beautiful day outside. And they can say, hey, Brother Will, it's a beautiful day outside. I do not get the same feeling that you get. Okay, why? You see, when we think about it, and the way that I live versus the way that other people live, or a lot of other people. See, I have a lot of thoughts, and I have a lot of insights, for lack of a better word, that the average person, they never wrestle with. For example, I was telling my daughter, and she looked at me very, very befuddled. And I told my daughter, and I tell her a lot, because she's getting ready to go to college in a town that's 2-3 hours away from me. She's all alone, and every blue moon, she still has a seizure whenever she does two things that I've told her not to do. It's the only time she has seizures. And I'm asking her, Shamora, what are you going to do if you have a seizure because you don't listen and apply those two things that I told you not to do? Because every time you do those two things together, you have a seizure. Every time, like clockwork. The last 5 years, that's been the only time. But Dad, I still want to have fun with my friends. I want to be a part of the group. And at the expense of having a seizure, what if you decide to go out and hang out with your friends? One of the things that triggers is sleep deprivation. She can't do what other people do. She can't do round-the-clock studying. She can't do that. She has to get in bed. She has to get X amount of hours of sleep. If she don't, bam. So I'm telling now, for me, I know that. I don't wish. I don't think about it. I ain't got to pray about it. I have thoughts and I have insight based upon observation that gives me the ability. So I see things that nobody else in the family sees. Because that's my daughter, and I spend time with her, and I research it, and I understand it. I remember reading a story about Albert Einstein, and Albert Einstein was also talking about how he was able to obtain all of his information. And he got all of his information at night, right around the time he was going to sleep. And at night, Albert Einstein is up thinking about and dreaming about how to, you know, harness nuclear power and nuclear weapons and how to solve the laws of the universe. Why? What do you think about when you go to bed? Now, this is a real question. Like, I'm not saying I'm better than anybody else or nobody else, because there's a lot of people that are way more intelligent than me, got way more wisdom than me. But when I go to bed at night, you know what I'm thinking about? I'm not thinking about cars. I'm not thinking about houses and buys. So I'm thinking about scaling my business. I'm thinking about, how do I explain spiritual acoustics to people? I'm thinking about, how do I break down reincarnation to Christians who do not believe in reincarnation? I'm thinking about, how do I explain photon physics? Because Yahushua is a photon. He's a package of light. He says, I am the light of the world. He didn't say he created light. He said he is light. So how do I explain photon synthesis to non-scientific people? How do I break down the fact that our DNA right now, as I'm talking to you right now, there are nanobots and there are ELFs, extreme low frequencies, that are affecting your nucleotide and your nucleic nanosites, for lack of a better term, which simply means there is a mitochondria, or what they call the mtDNA, inside of every cell that is being regened as we speak through your diet, through the air, and through the fluoride and other chemicals that's inside of the water. And so it's affecting your genetic code. And I need to give you some biology and some theology and some esoteric information to help you understand that language is also being used to produce anguish. So the narrative has changed. That's why Donald Trump is president, to change the narrative. So how can I get, there was a guy on TV talking about he was going to sue the gun manufacturers because of he lost a loved one in the school shooting. Now, I'm trying to follow it. Now, I'm not for or against gun manufacturers. I could care less. People don't need guns. I worked in a prison where they didn't have guns. Every day somebody got killed. No guns. They just put one man puts his hand around another man's neck, choked the life out of him. Proceeded to make a weapon out of a bar of soap. Killed a man with a bar of soap. See another man get killed with a freaking toothbrush that was filed down into a shank. So you take the guns if you want. You think Negroes ain't going to figure out another way to kill each other? So when I go to bed, I think about the ludicrous ideals that's being debated in what we call the halls of Congress by people with PhDs. It don't make sense. I was on Facebook, there's this ad that's talking about how McDonald's fries are made. They only use a certain type of potato that has to be sprayed a certain way so that way it has no defections, but you cannot touch it five days after it's been sprayed because it's poison, it'll kill you. And then we go to McDonald's and we eat that potato. That's poison because of the way that it's grown, not because of the potato, but because of the way, just like sugar cane. Sugar cane in this raw form is good for you, but the process of taking it from a sugar cane to white powder sugar that you get on your table is the same process that you produce and manufacture white powder cocaine. The process, the chemical process of taking sugar cane and taking the poppy seed and making cocaine, same process. That's why sugar is so addicting. Now, there are intelligent men and women who got a lot more PhDs behind their name who sign off on this. That's what wisdom does. Wisdom allows you to see shizness you can't do nothing about. So what good is seeing something that you can't do nothing about? I remember watching a movie, I forgot the name of it. How was it? It wasn't Hercules, it was the other one. I think it was Olympia or something like that. And he actually said that what good, he was telling the Oracle, and the Oracle said, I got the gift of vision. And then his reply was, what good is vision if you can't change? So you can see death coming, but you can't do nothing about it. That's wisdom. Wisdom is the ability to see stuff that's going to happen before it happens, and you just got to let it happen. You can't do nothing about it. You know. Like, I know. I can see what's going to happen before it shows up. I know it's going to take 5 years to get there, 2 years, a year from now, but I know. If you eat Krispy Kreme donuts all day and you drink soda all day and your definition of fluid or hydrating is like my biological father was, you know, sweet tea, and that's the only water you ingest, I can tell what's going to happen to your kidneys and to your liver and to every other organ in your body in about 3 to 5 years, if that long. And then when it shows up, everybody's dumbfounded, like, what do we do? Let's go to the doctor and get some medication, some pharmacare to further dehydrate you and further promote the dis-ease. That's wisdom. How terrible is wisdom when you can't do nothing about it? So I got all of this knowledge. I can tell you. You can tell them, show me a problem. I can tell you the solution. Now, I ain't the sharpest tool in the shed because a lot of other people can tell you the same solution. People talk about gas prices. Gas prices here in Texas are getting close to $3. I remember when gas used to be under a dollar. Why are we still driving gasoline cars? That's my question. When there's a YouTube video of a dude that got a car that drives off air, compressed air. Another YouTube video where a guy drives off water, seawater. Another one that drives off the battery. I like that one. You just, you know, you get, throw you some freaking, what you call them up there, or put some solar panels on your vehicle. You can drive nonstop all day. But those cars will never see the light of day. That's wisdom. Wisdom is that you see stuff, you see a solution, but it's not being implemented. That causes what? Vexation of spirit. So when King Solomon says, vanity of vanities, all life is vanity. Everything under the sun, according to King Solomon in the book of Ecclesiastes, See, when you get a lot of people that ask for knowledge, man, I tell people all the time, because I used to ask for knowledge. I prayed for knowledge, and then I got it, and I was like, oh, shizness. Can I take it back? Once the brain has been expanded, it can't shrink back. So now I walk around and I see stuff that nobody else can see. And it's very, 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 very interesting. Because when you think about King Solomon, and you realize that every great blessing has a downside or a dark side, including yours. You got 12 blessings called those 12 numbers that I gave you in your Dear Kinnear report. That's your wisdom. That's what I'm talking about. When I talk about wisdom, I'm talking about my 12 numbers that allow me to see. And I've studied mine, I've researched them, and I over, under, and inner stand. And they provide me with a certain level of understanding that I call wisdom. Now, see, what I call normal people is like in the Matrix when old boy says ignorance is bliss. See, a normal person thinks that, or the thing that would make, I should say, a normal person happy and content has no effect on me. None. So the average activity that normal people, I say normal people, meaning people who have not researched the stuff that I've researched and experienced the thing that I've experienced, that's wisdom. For example, I was telling you about a client who, you know, had an experience and called me and told me exactly what I said, that deals with the entertainment industry. And the person told her the exact same words that I had told her. This was a brand new client that barely, you know, less than a month, well, about a month or so, and was dumbfounded. Because exactly what I told her about the entertainment industry, Hollywood, spirit cooking, signing contracts, you know, basically when you take pictures, what happens to your aura and your chi, how it is demonically manipulated, you'll never sleep another night once you enter into that realm. Her handler told her the exact same thing. And she's new to the game. And she was blown away. I had another client that's just, you know, was gone, part of the life management system, took a vacation, you know, took some time off, and then came back after some time, about 6 to 8 months. And first question was, man, I feel like I'm in a loop, like I'm repeating myself. Now, you guys know I did a few shows a few weeks back. I did a show that talks about Groundhog's Day. And I explained how most of the members in the life management system and most of the members, well, everybody in the life management system and everybody that's not in the life management system are worse than the members in the life management system. At least the members in the life management system can see that they're in a loop. The members that's not in the life management system, they can't even see. They don't even know they're in a loop. They don't even know they're repeating the same shizness over and over and over again, and will continue to do that because it's not possible to stop or get out the loop, because the loop is you unless you put a bullet in your head. The only way to get out of the loop is to replace it with a better loop, period. That's the reason for the life-sustaining system or pattern that overrides the negative habit pattern. It's still a pattern. It's still a loop, because the Bible says you're going to be a slave. That means you're going to be programmed. You're going to be a slave to righteousness, or you're going to be a slave to sin. Now, I just got a bigger box than other people. That's it. But I'm still in a box. Let's not get it twisted. And I set the boundaries of my box, which is what I was sharing with the client. So the client was telling me, yo, dog, man, I'm seeing some stuff that I don't like. I'm seeing, now this was a male client that was explaining to me his feminine attributes and characteristics that I told him about 4 years ago. And he was explaining to me how, as he vehemently rejected, I'm a dude, man, I'm a masculine male, I'm an alpha male. But I was explaining how he was expressing that male in the feminine aspect in a way. That's his box. But now he can see the box. So he comes back and say, oh, well, Brother Will, everything that you told me, you know, 3 or 4 years ago is, you know, is manifesting now. I was like, no, boo-boo, you can see it now. It was manifesting 3 years ago when I met you. It just took you 3 years to see it. Now, what you going to do about it? Well, what do we do about a pattern when we see it? It's like wisdom. Wisdom is insight, brothers and sisters. It's the ability to see. But can I go to my neighbor and tell him, Jim Bob, if you continue to smoke a pack of cigarettes a day, I mean, just based upon statistics, I mean, you can Google this. This is not like no. Now, remember, wisdom is not esoteric. It's not hidden. Everybody has access to the same thing I do. How come I got it and most people, other people don't? Remember my millionaire friends? They pay me. Why? They busy understanding the laws of creating wealth. They ain't got time to understand the laws of creating wisdom. They pay me. I got time. So I got more wisdom than I got wealth. I've just learned to balance it and spend some time studying the laws of wealth too. That way you can have a little money. Then on top of that, there's no good of having money. I've seen a lot of men and women, they got a lot of money and they got no health. You ever seen somebody like that? They got money. They ain't got no health. So what good is having health? I mean, think about it. So you're in a wheelchair or you can't breathe, you can't walk up a flight of stairs, but you're a millionaire. That dog doesn't hunt for me. So I might want to spend a little bit of my time also studying the laws of health, which I've done. That's why I have theocentric nutrition. To me, the best system on the planet, bar none. Why? It gets IMRs, immediate measurable results. Then what about relationships? Well, I learned that shit is the hard way. Didn't read it out of a book. So now I understand how relationships work. It's very simple. You got two people who don't know each other when they start off. And then as they develop and they start to know each other and they start to know themselves. Relationships do not work because you got people who don't know themselves. So the more I get to know myself, then the more I get to know someone else. If I don't know myself, then I cannot know someone else. I cannot see in other people what I don't see in myself first. So a relationship is actually about individualship. It's the degree that you love yourself, you can love someone else. That's actually biblical as well. Love your neighbor as yourself. First law, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and might. So what is wisdom? Now, it's interesting because remember, we're talking about consciousness, which is the whole where I started 25 years ago. See, it's really, really interesting because we live in an age and a time when sociology and psychology overrides theology. That's a healthy dose of psychology and sociology back from, you know, instead of theology or understanding, you know, certain spiritual attributes. I would like to call it now spirituality instead of theology. And so based upon psychology, psychology now shows and demonstrates that having a lot of money doesn't actually mean you're going to have a lot of knowledge. I know a lot of fools that got money, but they ain't got no knowledge. So, and it doesn't make you happier. I know a lot of people with a lot of money that are very depressed. So having a high IQ, being a genius, I know a lot of geniuses that are depressed. Not a lot, but a few. Millionaires, same thing. So people used to tell me, hey, man, get you some money, all your problems go away. That's not true. Go out and get you a degree from a prestigious university. Man, your life, I remember growing up as a kid, they told me, man, you go to school, brother, it's a wrap. I know a lot. I've met homeless people with PhDs, homeless veterans. When I was out there doing my veteran roundup, dudes I've met, man, with way more education than me, and they're homeless. So that's not the meal ticket either. A lot of the stuff that we focus on that's going to make us happier, it doesn't work. Because happiness is an inside-outside job. See, Solomon had it all. He had all the money. You know how many wives? I think he said, what, 300 wives and like 800 concubines? He could have a different woman every night and still, after a year, still wouldn't see the same woman twice. What? Solomon was a bad dude. He had all money, he had all the women, and he had wisdom. And he was depressed. He says, vanities of vanities. See, Solomon had it all to the extreme. But Solomon did not find any of it satisfying. Why? You know what Solomon did not have? Solomon did not have a relationship with himself, with his God, and with other people. See, I don't give a flying beep. Now, again, you can take it from me. You can take it from King Solomon. Or what I recommend, go on out there, boo-boo. Try it yourself. I already tried it. If you ain't got now, the Bible says it this way. Yahushua said it this way. The greatest commandment is to love your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And the second is just like the first. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love. The ability to interact with other people. I know a lot, especially this generation that come up is a little unnerving. Because they have no social skills. I'm talking to my son and my daughter, and I'm like, y'all need to put that freaking cell phone and computers down. Go talk to somebody. They can't talk. My daughter was telling me about the guy who was supposedly crazy about her, and she saw him in school and sat next to him and said hi. He got up and left. And then texted her and said, hi, I'm a little shy. What? What the is that? Doesn't know how to communicate. Oh, genius. He's a star football player. Great, getting ready to go to scholarship. I forgot what school he's going to. Great athletic abilities. And he can't look a woman in the eye and say, hello. No social skills. How terrible is it to be a star athlete and you can't talk to a female face to face? Oh, brothers and sisters, wisdom is a dangerous thing. How terrible is wisdom when it brings you no profit? See, I've prided myself on obtaining wisdom, not just any kind of wisdom. I wanted to know, and I still want to know, and I do know, and I thank God for showing me. But now I got all this wisdom and nobody else, not nobody else, but very few people can overstand. Okay, Brother Will, what does that mean, though? You keep talking about all this wisdom you got, dude. What is it that you don't know? Y'all remember I used to say, man, if I told y'all what I know, we would not be friends. I used to say that a lot. And then I started doing shows, and I'm continuing. We got to get back on it, so we're going to start in the beginning of on January the 1st, January. On June the 1st, we'll start the new series, and I'm going to tell you some of the stuff that I know that you don't know. Okay, Brother Will, what is that? Okay, we're going to talk about the what they call the Holy Grail, which is the grid engineers, the old school. These are the you remember Will Smith? He had the song called, you know, The Prince of Bel-Air. Y'all know who Will Smith is, who he's from. Who's Will Smith's father? Who's Quincy Jones? Why was Will Smith groomed, if you want to use that term, by Quincy Jones? Why is Will Smith called the Prince of Bel-Air? Now, chew on it for a little bit. See, this is stuff I see. See, Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 18, one of my favorite scriptures in the Helios Biblios. The Bible clearly states something in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 18. We'll start with verse 17. And I set my mind to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. I realized that this also is striving after the wind. Now, that is the New American Standard. Now, in the King Jimmy, it says it a little differently. In the King James, Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 17. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 17. King James. And I gave my heart to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. I perceive that this also is vexation of spirit. Striving after the wind is what is called in the watered down versions, or chasing the wind. Now, I don't know about you. I'm not the brightest bulb in the pack. But have you ever seen a dog chasing his tail? Have you ever seen somebody chasing the wind? I've seen a lot of things in my days. I've never seen somebody go chase the wind. That's what wisdom is. Now, if I'd have known this before I started, I still probably would have done the same thing I did. Because I'm just the kind of guy that I just need to know. I just didn't know it was going to come at this cost. What cost? Like, I sleep about 4 or 5 hours a night. My wife would tell you I don't really go to crowded restaurants because of what I know. I don't really have friends because of what I know. I don't really get into debates or arguments or discussions because of what I know. I don't even trust, as y'all already know, because of what I know. I know that behind every great man is a little demon or ruling disposition, not no great woman. I know that everybody is powered by a tutelary demon, tutor. Now, I know, and I hope you don't agree with me, just as I've done a plethora of shows, just go look at the definition of the word genus or the word genius. I mean, those are the people that we call wise, is it not? So when I see Bill Gates, guess what I see? When I see Mark Cuban, guess what I see? And we can talk about all of the geniuses of our day. So other people just see a guy. I don't. I see that little tutelary entity behind that guy. Because I know nothing on this dimension comes without you selling your soul to that dimension, that entity or that deity. In order for you to obtain that, to get that higher IQ. Now, the problem is people don't, they unknowingly do it. How do they do it? Just like my client told me, all they saw was one thing, blood type and zeal. That's the requirement. So if you got the right blood type and you got the right zeal, ask Will Smith. He'll tell you. Ask Kanye. He just said it. He got dragon blood, him and Trump. Or you can just, ask the people who are living it. That's wisdom. Wisdom is simply the ability to see. Now, I didn't say it has nothing to do about changing anything because you can't change it until the Father decides that enough is enough. The Father is allowing this. Now, remember, all of this stuff was allowed. If you read the Apocryphon of John or you read my book, The Cosmogrator, the Cosmogrator could not create this harmonious arrangement without hydrogen. That's the Father. So the Father allowed, and he gave him, what the ancient text called 7 days, which is 7 25,950-year spans. That equals 1 day for the Nephilim. So you do the math, 7 times 25,950, and see where we're at. Then after that 7 day period, the big G was like, okay, then your time is up, homie. I'm going to create something else. So this harmonious arrangement, again, wisdom is the ability to see it and say shiznits about trying to change it. There's a lot of people telling me, man, what you going to do with it? I ain't going to do nothing. It ain't my job. Now, I used to think it was my job. I used to think it was my job to go out there and save people. That's called chasing the wind, according to King Solomon, who's the wisest man that ever walked the freaking planet, according to the Helios Biblios. So I'm going to go along with that. So the Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 17, so I set out to learn everything from wisdom to madness and folly, and I learned firsthand that pursuing all this is like chasing the wind. Now, like King Solomon, I got firsthand experience of knowledge or gnosis, depending on how you want to slice it and dice it. So in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 18 says this, chapter 18, verse 18. We would Ecclesiastes 1:17, 18 says, because in much wisdom there is much grief, and an increase of knowledge results in an increase of sorrow. Now, the question that you should be asking as we bring today's message to an abrupt close, no, I'm just kidding. Why is it an increase of knowledge is an increase of sorrow? I thought, why is knowledge chasing the wind? I thought knowledge was like, you know, thebomb.com. Like, are we all supposed to be ignorant? Well, you remember the upright talking snake, Benaiha Nakash, he gave man knowledge. That's the forbidden fruit. See, God did not want us to know all of this business for a reason. He knew you were going to end up like me. So really, the big G was trying to protect you. Because remember, after they ate of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, he says, hey, let's put a flaming sword, a cherubim with a flaming sword, unless they eat of the tree of life and be permanently in this vexed state. So knowledge is associated with being vexed. I hear too many people preaching that message. So the less you know, the more you grow. Now let me make sure you understand what I'm talking about. What type of knowledge or wisdom? Because they said after they ate of the tree, he said that he told them that they have become one of us, knowing good from evil. So the ability to know good from evil brings about vexation of spirit. Now this rabbit trail goes a lot deeper, but today's message, again, we just scratched the surface. So I need you to really understand Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 18. Because Ecclesiastes 1:18, again in the King James, says, for in much wisdom is much grief. Period. Now I'm not saying that. That's what the Bible said. The Bible said or says, in much wisdom is much grief. Or in much wisdom is vexation. That means, again, as we talked about before, stress. Why though? Because you are seeing stuff that you can't do nothing about. So my job is to see stuff that I can do something about. Ring, ring, hello. Let me say that again. This is what I do. Now, I know a lot of stuff, but what do I put my energy into? Remember the show that we did yesterday? Getting back to mental picture, loving feeling, immediate result. So what mental picture you think I got in my head? You think I have a mental picture in my head that is not achievable? So I know how this harmonious arrangement works. I know that there is a little G that everybody thinks and have been, you know, that they worship. Do you think I put a lot of energy? Do you think I put energy into that? Do you think I'm gonna go? I have a book called Vatican Control. In that book, I break down everything that I know that if you know, we probably would not be friends. Because everything in that book is contrary to what everything that I've heard over the pulpit and everything that most people think. So if you read that book, one chapter in that book, underneath the Vatican right now, there's pictures floating around. They're hard to find, but you can find them, where it talks about Peter and the cock that crowed three times. And it has nothing to do with no damn bird. It has to do with a male genitalia and orgasms. It's sex magic. It's a sex orgy. It has to do with the fertility god. Now, if you go to a traditional Christian and tell them that, they're going to look at you like you're on some serious drugs, but they ain't read the ancient text. They ain't seen what's underneath the Vatican. And they probably don't want to see. And I ain't mad at them, because now that I know, now that I've seen, I kind of wish I hadn't. I wish I don't know. I wish I did not know. But that's my job to know. Because I'm going to go up against some Reverend Dr. Bishop or somebody, which I have, who texts me and calls me and say, Brother Will, what you smoking is some good shiznits. You ain't got no proof. So I need to provide them with esoteric proof and biblical proof and, more importantly, scientific proof. Stuff written in stone 6,000 years before there was a thought of a Bible. That's hard to defute. Now, can you defute it? Sure. You can say that, hey, carbon dating is wrong. You can say that, hey, artifacts, they can, you know, you can create, you can manufacture fake artifacts. You can do a whole lot of stuff. But there's something called paper bulls that's written on human skin. I recommend you read that. That's what I read. Read the shiznit that was written on people's skin by the popes. It's called a papal bull. Just go to Google and type it in. Read it. Now, I don't want to recommend you read it because then you'd be sleeping 4 hours at night like me, and then you're going to see little green men, and you see strange things. You'll feel stuff that other people don't feel, and, you know, all the other stuff that comes with knowledge, just like Solomon said. Or you just read your Bible, pay your, you know, tithes, and come home and go to sleep at night. That's the reason I don't share everything with everybody, because for some people, it's not for them to know. This is why the book of Ecclesiastes, in my opinion, is inside of the Helios Biblos. Why? To share with you and to underscore the problem with wisdom and knowledge, because it is not going to make you happy. It creates more problems than it solves. Now, I'm not saying that if your purpose is to pursue that, you should not. If you're 33 like me, guess what? You're designed by the Creator to have something called universal consciousness. They call it Christ consciousness. Consciousness is another word for wisdom. That's just another word for awareness. Everybody is not called to have your awareness. I had to learn this the hard way. I was sharing stuff with my children I should have never shared with them because they ain't 33s. They're not sixes. They don't have Christ consciousness. They don't have universal consciousness. So that's not their purpose. It's not their job. I had to learn it the hard way. Ecclesiastes 1:18 is a very powerful scripture because it clearly states, "For in much wisdom is much grief. And he that increaseth knowledge increaseth in sorrow." As your knowledge increases, so does your sorrow increase. Why? Because you see stuff that you cannot do nothing about. There's a lot of things that go on in this world that you are not in a position to effectively change. And you get lost in that. And you get depressed. And you draw more depression. Because remember, the three-step process to creating your universe. If you have a mental image in your head of the atrocities that are taking place in third world countries around the world, that's the mental picture in your head. And you have a feeling of grief and despair because of the atrocities that are going on in Syria or Sierra Leone or the blood diamonds in, you know, in Africa or some other godforsaken place. If you have a mental picture because you stand up late at night watching them where they show the little kids walking around with, you know, don't even have the energy to fan the fires off their face. You got that mental picture in your head. You got a feeling that's like, oh, man, that's terrible. Somebody should do something about that. You are going to produce that in your life. That's the problem with wisdom. If you are not focusing on your purpose that gives you your power, because that allows you to solve your problems, because God has placed this power or this treasure inside of you. What is this treasure? Christ in you, the hope of glory. You can solve a problem. You may not be able to solve all problems, but that's your purpose, as I've learned. This is a very, very hard lesson to learn. You're not on the earth to save everybody, contrary to popular belief. Brother Will. I had to learn that it's not my job. Just like Jesus walked past 1,000 to heal one. He didn't heal everybody. Neither can you. You have to know your purpose. That's why I do purpose reports. That's why I do Dearkening reports. That's why I have a life management system, because you're supposed to manage your life, not mine. And many of us are making a mistake. Many people are making the mistake that I made. With an increase of knowledge comes an increase of sorrow. So you think just because there's people that have problems that you're supposed to solve them. No, boo-boo, that's not your job. Sufficient is the problem that you have in your own house. That should keep you busy for a while. Your job is to make sure you got the right mental picture, that you got the right loving attitude, so that you can produce the right environment that is conducive for your health, so that way you can grow and evolve to become more Christ-like. That, my brothers and sisters, is wisdom. Wisdom is not the attaining of a bunch of knowledge and researching a bunch of facts and going out and hanging out with a bunch of people. You can do that. You can read a bunch of books. That is awesome. But at the end of the day, you end up just like me. Vanities of vanities. It's a vexation of spirit. Your spirit is going to be vexed, and you're going to vex everybody else's spirit around you. Why? Because you're going to be angry. You're going to be an angry little dude or an angry little dudette. Because you're going to see all of these atrocities. It's a trick. Don't fall for it. I fell for it. Don't fall for it. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. There is beauty all around us. You can choose to see the beauty of life or the atrocities that exist. I just recommend that you find your lane. That's your design. Because if you find your design, then you can shine. Brothers and sisters, it's extremely important that you understand that this pursuit of knowledge and wisdom, it is a terrible thing to be wise and have this wisdom that brings you no profit. I recommend that you have wisdom that provides you with meaning and provides you with value and provides you with worth and benefits. Any knowledge that doesn't provide you with meaning, value, worth, and benefits, you shouldn't be studying. As I've learned the hard way, there's a lot of things you can study. But if you tell me, if you cannot apply what you learned about what's going on in Brazil or Peru or Afghanistan or Vietnam, you're spending hours, you're putting energy into this. But if you cannot explain to me how that's going to help you pay your light bill tomorrow, all this knowledge and all these books and all this stuff you got, if that shit ain't helping you pay your bills, if it ain't making you a better husband or a better wife or a better brother or a better sister or a better citizen or a better son of the father, if it's not, again, stabilizing your blood pressure, you know, allowing you to live in optimal health, I ain't interested in talking about it. If you cannot apply what we are discussing, especially in my shows, I want to make sure that they are applicable. I want to make sure that everything I'm talking about is relevant. I ain't going to be talking about no, but now I used to hit and dab a little, but you won't find me doing that anymore. Even when I'm talking about deep esoterical stuff, like we're going to be talking about on June the 1st, everything I'm going to share with you on June the 1st is extremely important, even though we're talking about genetic engineering, but we're talking about how you engineer your own genes instead of letting somebody else engineer your genes. I don't know nothing else that's more relevant and more important. That's how you change your environment. So, brothers and sisters, thank you so much for joining me on today's show. Again, the new series starts on June the 1st. On June the 1st, we'll start the new series. Again, the cost is for members of the Life Management Team, $25. For non-members, early registration is $50. After June the 1st, which is, if I remember correctly, I think June the 1st is either Monday or Tuesday. After June the 1st, it goes to a regular price of $100. So again, early registration, $25 or $50. Then there's also a group of people that had the foresight when I offered it, and they paid for it for the entire year. Y'all know who you are. You ain't got to worry about paying a dime. Just show up if you've already paid. For everybody else, again, $25, $50. If you don't know if you're one of those people, just email me, masterteacher33.com@gmail.com. Email address, again, is masterteacher33.com@gmail.com. Brothers and sisters, I love you. I appreciate you. God bless you. His name is Yahuwah. May his son bless you. His name is Yahushua. And may the Ruach, instead of part one, continue to lead you and guide you in all truth, because he would never, ever, ever manipulate or control you. And as always, my brothers, as always, my sisters, I will, make no doubt about it, I will see you in eternity. God bless you.
Yeah. Focus on yourself and stop trying to scheme others. Cause once you get your wealth, then you can start to wake others. Stop running from yourself and take up your throne. Listen. Don't let them entities take up your home. Trippin'. Cause you're the entity that make them stone cold demons. So I'ma hit them hard when they hit low. I'll be on your boulevard with my righteous flow. Yeah. I'll be pulling all these cards with this mighty flow. Never claim to be a thug, I just walk with love. Haters just wanna give me the mug because they nothing but someone that's not dealing with themselves. They probably need a hug. I'm the
wanna hit them with the truth, it's sweeping under rugs. So deal with it yourself, don't hide behind the drugs. The nation is the nation's epidemic, this is not a gimmick. I'm just here to make the people feel it, orchestrate and kill it. Put it in its place and add some grace and we can re-reveal it.
This world is yours, it's yours.
I'm back up on my grizzly, used to live in pity, throwing pity parties. Now I'm litty, I am my committee. Went from starved to living large, we live with no regard. So bring your light, cause you the star, they say we come from Mars. Either way it doesn't matter, cause you make it happen. You the author of your story, make or break it, captain. See right here, I'm building mansions on this track for rapping. Get the hell up out my house if you ain't about it, faker. A lot of fakers, man, it be a lot of takers. They just here to make me strong so I can elevate this. I'm just here to bring you something that'll last for ages. And you're just here to bring us something that'll last for ages. Now that's contagious, I can write 1,000 pages. But you gotta make the choice that'll rattle Satan. Until you pull up in a Royce and show us how to make it. And